Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back. I hope you're having a fantastic summer. We are going to dig in today to one of the biggest airline programs, and that is American Airlines. American Airlines is in a fantastic alliance. There is so much room to fly American domestically and then great deals internationally. So we are going to help you learn more about how to do that, how to earn points, how to gain status. And we have a really special guest on.
We had on Ben's Big Deal. A lot of you may recognize him from Instagram. He has a fantastic platform. He offers masterclasses, just a wealth of information. You guys, there is so much in this 1 hour that we're not even doing an intro today. You are going to learn. I would get your pen and paper ready if you take notes old school like I do, because we're going to dig into status, sweet spots,
how the alliances work, and just information in general about all the airlines and who is best for what things. There's just so much good meat to this episode about how the points and miles world works.
There's so much in here. I was fascinated the whole time. I had so many questions. I could not stop talking.
At one point, I felt like I was literally the emoji of the head exploding.
Yes.
There was one point when I was like, oh my gosh, I am this emoji right now and my head is exploding.
I felt exactly like that too. So we are so excited for you guys to listen to that. So, and at the end, we give you just like a little tiny taste into traveling to Thailand on Points and Miles, because Ben joined us from Bangkok, Thailand for this recording. So, stick around for that at the end. And as always, guys, do not forget to be following the show on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and also to give us a rating and a review if you haven't done it yet. It helps us so much and it means the world. I know we say this every time, but truly, we appreciate you guys. It is everything to us.
We're hearing from more and more of you, which is really exciting. We've got some fun emails lately, some fun DMs, and more folks joining the group and feeling free to share in our new Facebook group. So I hope to see you all there.
Yes, it has been really exciting. And if it takes us a little bit to get back with you, right now we are in the summer season with our kiddos, with our jobs, with traveling. So sometimes there is a delay. But we hear you, we love you, we read it all, and we will get back to you all as soon as we can. And again, join us in all the places. And now, here is Ben's Big Deal.
Today, we have a special treat. We have our friend Ben from Ben's Big Deal, and he is joining us all the way from Bangkok, Thailand. You definitely get a prize right now for joining us on the podcast from the furthest away spot. Yes. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on your trip.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Ellen and Joanna. This is a pleasure for me to talk about something that I truly love. And actually, I'm in a country that I truly love. I've probably been here at least 20 times now in my lifetime.
Wow, that is amazing. It's on my list. It's just so stunning. And I hear it's like one of the most affordable vacations you can do and still like get a luxury element. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I feel like it's one of the few places in the world where you can take what you do in travel points and miles and say, how do I make these free night certificates become, instead of a category 4, kind of become a category eight. Like, how do I make a $100 night into a $350 experience? You know, so when you look at what people usually spend a lot of when they are traveling, you know, the first thing's airfare, the other next is hotel, then the other one is, I would say, eating out and, you know, entertainment and things like that. And I would say that the eating out and entertainment piece is very inexpensive here. The hotels, you could run a room, I kid you not, for $28, or you can go up to $1,000 if you wanted to. So, you know, I would say the hotels I'm staying at right now, a Hyatt Place. It is a fantastic Hyatt Place. Probably one of the best. Like, they have a bellman at this Hyatt Place.
Bellman at a Hyatt Place. Yeah, that's there's amazing. A bellman,
right? There's a bellman downstairs. I have like a suite. They're very generous here. The breakfast is full on, has like a noodle bar, has like hot plates.
Is that the free Hyatt Place breakfast?
Yes.
That is wild. I'm curious if you paid points or dollars.
I did. 5,000 points.
Stop. That is incredible. I know that we really have you here to talk about American Airlines, but this, like, maybe at the end, we should dig into a Thailand trip just a little. And people, you can talk to us about getting to Thailand and maybe doing a little Thailand tourism, because it sounds amazing. But before we even get into the American Airlines stuff, I would love for you to tell everybody how you got into points and miles and how you started teaching other people. Because I stumbled across your account randomly. I think it just came on my For You page. And I was like, whoa, this guy has great information. He's so good at putting so much in a minute and 30 seconds. It's very impressive. And then you invited me to join one of your master classes. And it was incredible. It blew my mind. And so these little master classes that you offer, I say little because they're short, not little because they're little in value. They're incredible. You are just doing so much in this community. I feel like you're a leader in the community in terms of just a step ahead of everybody. I feel like I learned things from your page before anywhere else. So all that to say, tell us how you started doing all of this.
So it's interesting. I started as a business traveler in 2009. I've always wanted to be in travel. In fact, I was going to work for the airline back when there was a company called Northwest, and Northwest ended up being absorbed by Delta Airlines. And that's the reason why you have Minneapolis as a Delta hub, because Northwest was their hub back in the day.
Wow. Interesting.
And they went on strike right when I was about to go work for them. So I ended up going to work for the insurance company. By the time they ended their strike and they got their deal, I was like, no, I'm going down the road of insurance. And so I struggled for about 10 years to find a job in insurance where I actually could get to travel, and which I end up down that road. And I always say this, I'm an expert because I'm an expert in doing everything that you can do wrong. I did it as a business
learn
traveler.
By doing.
Learn by failing. I love that.
I everything that you could do wrong, I did. I tested the waters. I read every day and didn't do anything about it. I didn't apply for credit cards because that was going to ruin my credit. I believed everybody that told me that you can't do this. This is wrong. It's illegal. It's a scam.
We hear that stuff all the time. So right. Yes, luckily we were just like, I'm not listening. And we just jumped in.
And so here's the thing. I went wrong. I did wrong for 5 years.
Yeah.
As a business traveler, you think that a business traveler who's traveling all the time, I flew 50,000 miles a year.
Wow.
And I had no elite status because I did what most people do, which is common rule of thumb. Look for the cheapest flight, do the thing that's most convenient. I did that 5 years.
Oh, and
I
got no status.
I would walk through the aisle and look at these first class people and laugh at them and say, these people are idiots. Who's paying for first class? It's a 30-minute flight. I wouldn't pay for that. Not realizing that 80% of those people are getting upgraded for free.
Oh, right. My gosh. Were you using your debit card to pay for those 50,000?
Yes, of course. And my company was reimbursing me and I didn't use a credit card. All the things that people say to me now, they say with straight face that this is the way they do it. I think in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, I was you before. I know how you feel.
Painful.
I did everything wrong. Everything wrong. So when I speak from it, I speak from authority because I can tell you, doesn't work. Don't look for the cheapest flight. Because the cheapest flight today is not the cheapest flight. They put
right.
they put so much restrictions on you now.
Yeah.
They want you to pay right. for a seat. They want to pay for you need to pay for the seat. You buy a ticket, but you don't have a seat. You have to pay now to sit in the aisle versus the middle. You have to pay for the bag. You have to pay to board first. You have to pay to check in early. There's a lot of things going on. So by the time you get that cheapest flight and you add up all the other incidentals, it's not the cheapest anymore.
Absolutely.
Right.
They make you connect and overnight in hotels and you don't need to.
Yeah, no. Let's dig into American Airlines specifically today and dig into status and understanding why maybe having status allows you, like you said, you get perks like baggage for free, things that offset that if you were just paying for the cheapest flight, you would be paying for all these add-ons. And if you just focus a little bit, you can get maybe some of those things for free. So why American Airlines first? Because you're an expert in American, you're an expert in a lot of things, but an American, what is the draw for people to start focusing their points and miles strategy on AA? Why might somebody want to do that?
I think AA, it's a great question, Marianne. I think AA, first of all, I had a choice. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm not hub captive, first of all. I can fly Delta, United, unlike some people. Now, if you live in a city that, you know, you're in a city where you only have one airline that primarily flies everywhere, that can be tough. So I actually had the choice of choosing which airline I wanted to fly to. So here's the thing. Here's my thing that I want to first start off. You need to look at where the airline that you're going to choose to go. Where do they go? Where's their hubs? Like, let me give you an example. Delta is the best premium airline. They hold themselves as a premium airline. I'm not going to argue that point. But here's their hubs. Minneapolis, Detroit, Salt Lake City, Atlanta, JFK. Maybe JFK is. But for me, for myself, I have no business being in Minneapolis or Salt Lake City or Detroit. And those are going to be places that you're going to travel to, then that may make sense for you. And those will be the cheapest airfare because they're flying there regularly and there's a lot of flights going in. Mm-hmm. But then I look at United. United has San Francisco, has Denver, has Houston, has Chicago, EWR, has Newark. Those are actually pretty good. So if you're going to be flying in those, that may make sense for you and you're trying to fly in there. For me, I really like American schedule and they probably have the best they actually have probably more flights than anyone else in the United States. They have LA, by the way, I forgot, United also has San Francisco, but they have, American has LA, has Phoenix, has Dallas, has Chicago, has Miami, Charlotte, Philadelphia, and JFK and LaGuardia. Those are kind of major cities. It's amazing to me that Delta can do so well with those terrible cities. I'm not, by the way, if you live in those cities, but they're not major cities.
Right.
Nobody's trying to go to Minneapolis or Detroit normally. Okay. That's not a place like, oh, I can't wait to have a vacation there. So the thing is, right? So the thing is, if you look at the major cities, Americans should be winning hands down. They're not all the time. But I think it's because this is the problem with American. I'll talk about the problems with American first, because for everyone who's listening to this right now and they're going back in their mind going, I hate American. I don't like flying American. Let me just tell you right now, they are going to get you there. And as much as hate you say that, they're going to end up getting you to the city that you want to get to. And they're probably going to do it for cheaper than everybody else, normally speaking. Okay. You're going to pay a premium to fly Delta. So I'm just going to let you know right now. And you're going to have to connect through those cities I just mentioned. And unless you really want to go to those cities, you're going to have to get out of your way to be able to go through Atlanta, through JFK every single time. So I just think that American is more convenient for most people to fly. The second part, and I think it really comes down to the loyalty program, is this. The loyalty program is separate than the airline. The loyalty program is not the airline. I want you to think about this. And this is kind of, and I know we're getting right into it, but I kind of want to tell my story. I've been a business traveler for now 15 years. So I understand how they kind of work in the background. But here's the thing. I want you to think of the loyalty program of Delta, which is SkyMiles, United, you know, their Mileage Plus, and then American, their Advantage program. They are the bank of the airline.
Okay.
The loyalty program has all the money.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing. They're selling future flights.
Okay.
Not flights right now, but in the future. So you're the miles you fly for the future. So they're selling miles of future flights that they can generate as much as they want because they're selling the future.
Yeah.
Right.
When the airline couldn't fly during COVID, how did they stay in business? They needed to get a loan, right? They need to get loans. They did that through 9/11. They did it again through COVID. When they got loans, they had to leverage the only thing they had. You know what they had? Future flights, their mileage program. They actually, because they had to get a loan, they actually had to put a value on the value of the program. Advantage program is worth $20 billion.
Holy cow.
What?
With a B.
That is crazy.
Wow. It's worth more than the actual airline.
That is so crazy.
Is this why they offered, and I wasn't even doing points and miles at that time, but is this why they were offering like special fast track ways to get status during COVID, and there were like sales on points? It felt like there were a lot of offerings from all the different airlines during that time. And is that how they were trying to counter people not buying flights currently?
That's a really good point and a really good observation, Joanne. So when they weren't flying, American had to figure out. Now, this is the thing. American usually likes to copy the other airlines. If United and Delta does something, here's a case. Before COVID, if Delta did something, American would follow. Hmm. It always was. It was like Delta was the leader. This is the first time when American did something that was different. After COVID. They did something that the other two still don't have the guts to do. Delta and United still do not have the guts to do this, and I think American's on the right track on this one. American decided, because their primary base is business travelers, they decided to say, look, if people are not going to come back to travel like they were before because it's work from home, hybrid, Zoom calls like we're doing right now, when they start doing that, we're never going to get back the business traveler again. How are we going to make money and stay competitive? So if they can't spend money flying, why don't we just figure out a way for them to spend money with us and our partners? So we're going to overhaul the whole program. We're going to eliminate flying as a requirement. They've eliminated flying to fly.
Right.
The other two airlines still require that you have to fly in order to get top tier status. But American took the really revolutionary and says, look, if you spend money with us, we don't care because you're spending money with us.
Yeah.
And so if you spend money with us and our partners, so here's the thing. We're going to create a new program called Loyalty Points. And for every dollar, if you get our credit card with us, then you're going to earn one loyalty point. So 40,000 points earns you gold. 75,000 points earns you platinum. 125,000 earns you platinum pro. Now, without flying, the people who flew, people like me, kind of upset. Kind of like, you know what? So you don't care about us flying anymore?
Because the riffraff.
now the people who are spending $200,000 on their credit card or any other way through hotels, through booking, through shopping portals and renting cars from them, the way American looked at it, we're going to get a percentage of that anyway. Because here's the thing. American and Delta and all these airlines, they sell their miles not to us, actually. You know who they sell the miles to? To the bank.
Interesting.
So they sell the miles to the banks. They've signed these 3-year deals with them. So when COVID happened, they would continue to sell more miles to the banks. And the banks offer these miles that they just purchased as a welcome bonus to us. The reason we get these huge welcome bonuses is because they bought the miles from them at a retail rate of 1 cent or higher. And then they offer to us as an enticement to use their credit cards. And every time we swipe our card, there's a merchant fee that's being charged 1 to 2%, 3%. And then they make a little percentage from that. And then it offers the bank to get us to use their credit cards. And then we continue to either, number one, pay it off, which is the right thing to do. We carry balance, then we lose a game in this case, you know? So we got to make
that
sure we pay off our loans.
Yeah. Is fascinating. I have a question about welcome bonuses on these credit cards. Like, we know the Citi AA cards and then the Barclays Red card. Do those welcome bonus points count towards status, kind of like a Southwest welcome bonus counts towards a companion pass?
So Southwest is unique in that situation that they offer the welcome bonus toward. American does not. However, there are other ways for you to earn loyalty points and redeemable points. Like I said, through the hotel portal, through the shopping portal, rental cars, credit card as well. In fact, there's even one credit card, the executive card that Citi has. If you get that credit card, once you reach a certain level, like you hit 50,000, 90,000, they'll give you another 10. And that card can give you 20,000 loyalty points if you do all the other things you're supposed to do.
Wow. That's really interesting.
We're so focused to try to tell everybody, go get a, you know, flexible points that we never get into about American. And really the reason is this. I'll start off with this. The two most points I use all the time is Chase. And the other one I use a lot is American. Honestly, for my family, American Express is third on my list. It's not that I don't collect American Express. I got a ton of, my wife got like 500,000 Amex points, but I collect them for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't use them as much because here's the thing. They're not really good for hotels. They're not really good for domestic. They're really good for international first and business class.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you're really going to use it the right way, you're going to use it for international and business first. And how many times are most family travelers? I travel with my wife and my daughter. They're with me right now. I mean, how many times are really going to – like I'm trying to get back from Thailand right now, and I'm looking and I'm like, okay. You know who I go first? American and Alaska. Those are my first two. Then I look at Amex.
It's amazing lately how I'm finding an American option for everything that I want to do. And I'm getting frustrated that I really don't have, I have like 9,000 American points from just starting using the shopping portal like a month and a half ago, which is great. But I don't know how sustainable that is because you can only do a lot of these things once, you know, the Blue Apron and the wine subscription or whatever, and then you cancel it and then you have to wait a while and do it again. So do you ever do any finagling with the shopping portals to try to get chunks of points, or do you just kind of spend on your card or rent a car when you have it?
I think I'm alluding to it, but if you're not into hotel status, I will say that the American Airlines hotel portal is actually your best way to earn AA miles, AA loyalty points.
I haven't and even AA, looked.
That's the way really right now. And you'll earn more points and earn it faster for less because you can earn – let me give an example. What's the most you're going to earn on a hotel shopping portal? I'm sorry. If you're booking a hotel like under, you know, Citi or Chase or Amex, any of them, the most they're going to give you is 10x. Right?
Yeah.
10x on a hotel. That's a lot. If you have the AA executive card, they're going to give you 10x just by using that card. Just by the credit card is going to give you 10x. Number two, if you're using under the AA hotel portal. And then the hotel portal will probably give you anywhere between 20x and 30x.
Whoa. That's wild.
So to me, the shopping portal is actually really secondary. I would just live and breathe in the hotel portal, book all my hotels through it, and then call it a day.
Which, between the credit cards, which is your preference? The personal credit cards, the Barclays one, or the Citi one of the co-branded AA cards? Which do you like better? Do you have both? Do you tend to use one? Does one have better benefits than the other?
I really like the rebrand of the new executive card, the lounge card. For a long time, the lounge card was not really a valuable card other than getting you in the lounge. Mm-hmm. Today, now the new Citi executive card is great for earning points. Once you reach a certain level of loyalty points, like you reach 50,000, 90,000, they give you another 10,000. So when you hit 50, if you have the card, it gets you 60. So it's a really good card for that. It also now brings back something that the old Prestige card used to have under Citi, which is they gave you back trip delay insurance and trip cancellation insurance, which have been really missing lately from Citi. So they brought that back. So I actually, when I book American now, I do use that card because I get all the same perks I get with the Sapphire Reserve, you know, and the Amex Platinum. So it's right in there.
What lounge access does it give you?
AA actually has a lounge called the Admirals Club. And to be perfectly honest with you, that's more valuable than Priority Pass.
Where are those lounges? At all of those hubs that you mentioned, do they all have Admirals Club? We cannot wait for you to hear the rest of today's episode. But before we dive back in, we want to invite you to connect with us on Instagram. If you're enjoying the insights and travel tips we share here on the podcast, here's how you can stay even more connected with us.
First of all, follow us on our personal Instagram accounts for a glimpse into our daily lives and additional travel adventures. You can find Mary Ellen over at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4, and you can find me, Joe, at Points to Wonderland. Give us a follow and reach out to say hello and let us know if you found us from the podcast.
And of course, for all things podcast related, head over to our dedicated Instagram page at Wonderland on Points Podcast to stay updated on upcoming episodes, behind the scenes moments, and maybe even some exclusive content. Plus, if you're a visual learner, check out our YouTube channel with the same name. We plan on launching full video episodes in the near future, and we would love for you all to join us over there.
Your support on these platforms means the absolute world to us, and it's a fantastic way to be part of the growing Wonderland on Points community. So grab your phone, hit that follow button, and let's learn how to travel on points together. And now, back to the show.
They have all the hubs I mentioned all have an Admirals Club, and all those hubs actually have also what they call a business class, international style business class lounge, which is an elevated, which means, let me give you an example. There's 50 around the United States. So there's a lot already. So it's not even just at their hubs. Like if you don't have to be in Charlotte. Like I can be in Austin, Texas, and I'll find an American lounge. You know, I can find a lounge in many places that they won't have a priority pass lounge, but they'll have an airline lounge. But the great thing about having the LA, Dallas, Miami, Chicago, and JFK, those five, they actually have a flagship lounge. And a flagship lounge, international business, means that there's a full-on buffet. Like it's a real meal. It's not just snacks and dips. And like they'll have on like food, they'll have champagne for you, red wine, white wine, serve your own alcohol. They'll have all that kind of stuff, sushi, things like that.
Yep. That's amazing. And you get those if you're flying business class international with AA or if you have the card or both.
So the card gets you into all the Admirals clubs, but okay. The elevated version, the flagship at those five here, there's a couple ways you can access. The first way is if you book a business class or first class on a long haul flight. If you're flying a long haul flight and your business or first, you can get in. The other way is if you are an elite of another airline in one world. So if you're British Airways, you can get in there as well.
Okay.
And then the other way is if you're an elite with American and you have at least platinum status, which is mid-tier sapphire, which is basically, there's like four levels, but as long as you're not the first level, you're a second, third, or fourth, you can be able to get into the flagship lounge. And that means that you don't even need to be flying business class. Because of status, by virtue of status, you can get in there in any account, in any type of ticket, whether that's premium economy, whether that's economy, or even if you bought a basic economy international long haul flight.
Wow, that's amazing. Will you talk us through, I think this is a good segue into the status levels for people that have no idea what the levels are in American. Talk us through the points. I think you breezed over it before, but the points required to get to each status and then like where you really feel that you start seeing the benefits, like the upgrades and the baggage and what you think like the normal people should shoot for in terms of status. Obviously not everybody is going to be able to get that top tier, but I'd love to know for those of us normal people, like what is really achievable and why?
Okay. So I'm going to say that let me start off with this. And to answer this question, I have to kind of give a big picture. American is part of an alliance. An alliance, think of it as a family. Imagine if I, Mary, Ellen, and Joanna are part of a family. And we're going to call our family One World. And I'm American Airlines. Mary Ellen is British Airways. And Joanna is Japan Airlines. Okay. In the idea of having status, the idea is that we each have our own elites. We have our people who either spend more or fly more. Mm. So one of the great perks about being part of an alliance is that I can promise my customers I can fly them anywhere around the world. The thing is, I don't have to fly them around the world. I can put you on my partner airline. So the good thing about it is that one of the great things about having status is that, I'll start off with this. There's gold, which is the initial tier. And I don't really think people are going to see a ton of perks at the gold level. A lot of it you can be able to get from just having their credit card, like free, you know, priority boarding, the bag and things like that. So I wouldn't shoot just for gold. Gold's to get you started, but really the platinum level is a better situation. Platinum gets you into the business class lounge now. Okay. And then you get to platinum. So that gets you business class. And then there's a platinum pro and executive platinum. Those two get you into the first class lounge. So what our alliance does in order to kind of make sure all the names are the same, because it's different. Because if Mary Ellen is British Airways, her bottom tier doesn't use the same nomenclature. It'll start off with silver. Then it'll be, it starts with the bronze. Then it goes to mid-tier silver. And then it goes to gold. And then it goes gold guest list. So because your gold is my bottom, it would make no sense, because my entry is at gold. Your top is at gold. Right. So they came up with a term for all our entry levels. So our entry level in one world. So your bronze and my gold is called Ruby.
Ruby. Okay. I feel like I heard that.
Your one world Ruby. So one world Ruby means my entry level. So that entry level for you would be bronze, and my entry level would be gold.
Okay.
And then when we get to the second tier, we call that sapphire. So sapphire, Mary Ellen's, that would be her silver, and that would be my platinum. Okay. Sapphire gets you into the business class lounge, and then they have first class lounge. So your gold and my platinum and my platinum pro and my platinum executive platinum, those two can get into the first class lounge. So what's the difference between first class and business class? Well, in first class lounges, it's not a buffet anymore. It is a sit down dining experience. It's white cloth. Whoa. It's a server. Yeah. It's like it's now champagne coming through, and you're in a very exclusive way, and you're sitting in a plane where not only is it lie flat, but there's probably only four people in that cabin with you.
Wow. Well, at what status do you start getting those free upgrades? Because you talk a lot about the free upgrades.
So here's the thing about upgrades. I think that if you're trying to get an upgrade, you want to get the highest status that you can possibly get.
Right.
Because the way that a U.S. – okay, here's the thing. Upgrades U.S. and upgrades in Europe are processed differently. Like in the European market, I would say that they're willing to sell the upgrades at the counter to anybody who's willing to pay money. They even have a company out there called PlusGrade, where they actually go to these airlines and say, hey, why don't you let us sell your upgrades for you? We'll create a bidding process, and then people can bid, you know, a few days before the flight, and then even buy the ticket up front. That's a lot different than the U.S. In the U.S. market, if you're dealing with American, United, and Delta, they're going to process those upgrades to people who've already kind of competed for it in the elite status program. They're going to give it to those people, you know, first than they will to somebody who has no status. So it's going to be a lot harder to upgrade if you're flying with a U.S. carrier. So in those cases, I would think, and by the way, if you're wondering what status in American you need to just kind of get in the game, I really like platinum, because at platinum, that second tier, that mid tier, that sapphire level we talked about, you're able to choose a seat in the main cabin extra leg room, the extra leg rooms, without having to wait until check-in. Golds need to wait until check-in, but platinum can do that selection at the time of booking. And here's a good thing about American, which is actually better than Delta's policy or United's policy. We will allow you with your status. We honor your status regardless of what ticket you booked. So if you booked a basic economy in most programs, basic economy does not allow you to seat select, even if you have status. But American does.
Wow.
So
if you have platinum status, you could book a basic economy and still pick a seat.
If you are buying basic economy ticket for yourself and your family and you have status, do you get to pick your family seats all at the same time like that?
That is a great point. Yes, you do.
Ooh, see, that's amazing.
So although American doesn't have companion pass like Southwest, we actually allow companions of the status holder to actually borrow our status for that one flight.
Wow. I've never heard anyone put it that way. That's amazing.
So that means they can actually check in with you in the check-in line that, you know, so, you know, let's say I can get into the first class check-in, they can come with me. If I board to, if I'm boarding group one and my wife is board group four and my daughter's group six, four and six can come with me in four and one. It's not a problem.
Wow.
That's better than Southwest. One of the few things I could say, hey, this is better than Southwest. but yeah, it is. Because, you know, I mean, you don't have to do the whole thing like, I got to put bottles and shirts and, you know, try to save seats on Southwest.
We just did this past weekend, my daughter and I and her friend and my best friend all on Southwest being like, okay, I'm going to put stuff on the seat and hope nobody sits here until your group C gets all the way on the plane.
Yeah. So there's no problem in that. And then on top of that, we're able to choose a seat, okay, for the holder, and then also choose the seats for up to, I kid you not, I could, not that I pushed this, but you could push it up to like, I think about eight people.
Oh, great. So big families.
If you could put it all together. Four is usually the most, usually it's done by four, but basically I just want to think nowadays a lot of airlines have monetized that seat selection process. Sometimes you add up the seat selection. Gosh, you're like, okay, this is a $300 flight, but I'm paying $60 for a seat selection, another $60 because I want to sit together. Yeah. Is that too much to ask for because I want to sit together with them? So now it's like $60, $60, $60, $60. Now you're like, oh my gosh, I'm up to $240 extra. And that's just on the way there. What about the way back? Now you're going to pay another $60. Now you're like, oh, and then you haven't added the bag fee yet. So if you have a status, you get a bag for yourself, and then you could actually you know, there's a couple ways the bags. You could either have status and you can get three bags. I sometimes just put them all three with me, you know, and then that way they don't have to worry about it. Or I have the credit card, everyone gets their own. So that you could do that as well, you know. So there's
so a couple everybody ways to do that with the bags. That's booking with you. Like if you buy everybody's ticket or, you know, you book everyone's ticket, every person on your itinerary gets a free bag as well?
Usually, yes. Get one. Okay. Gets one. Yeah. But, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to switch gears a little bit. I was going to ask if you could speak to, we know that American has a very large domestic footprint, great for anywhere in the U.S., but any sweet spots for flying internationally, routes or deals that you know of that are very popular with AA? I've noticed just in doing a little bit of research myself, I love that when you're flying to Europe or flying elsewhere in the world, AA tends to have some of the lowest fees. So if you're booking on points, it keeps your out-of-pocket expense very low by not passing on a lot of fees to you. What sweet spots do you like AA for international bookings? Obviously, they're in the Alliance, so sometimes you're booking through AA, but you're flying on an Alliance airline. But tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I'll tell you where we're weak at. We're weak in South America. So if you're looking to fly to South America, I would say American is not the ideal carrier to fly down there. But if you're looking to go to Asia, if you're looking to go to Europe, if you're looking to go Middle East, I think they have some really great sweet spots in those regions. Let me just talk a little bit about Europe for a second. There's a couple partners. We just mentioned British Airways, Mary Ellen. Let's say I'm American, and American does fly to Europe as well. But you can also use American Airline miles, which some people don't know, is that you can actually use American Airline miles on their partners. Mm-hmm. So I can actually book an American Airlines flight on British Airways, or if I want to book it on Cathay Pacific or Japan Airlines, I could use the AA miles to book on another airline, which I don't think most people are aware of because they don't they think they got to use the American miles for American planes, which is the problem they come up with back to me is like, well, I don't want to earn American miles because I don't want to fly American long haul. That's like a terrible situation. And I would agree at times. I mean, that may not be the ideal situation, but you can always use your American miles to fly another airline. Mm. So that's one thing to consider. So let me just use Europe, for example. We could go British Airways. We can go Finnair. That's another partner. We can do Iberia, which is Spanish airline. Okay. So, I mean, there's a few choices right there. There's also Avios, maybe not necessarily Avios, Aer Lingus, but there's a few there to choose from. So here's my first thing that I'm going to say is a sweet spot. a lot of people don't know this, but if you fly through London, there's a lot of taxes incurred from an airport tax perspective. So don't be surprised when you book an airfare from the US and you have to connect through the British Airways into London Heathrow. It's going to be really expensive, meaning that you already spend 60,000-70,000 miles, and now you're going to have to pay somewhere between $600-$700 extra for your ticket one way per person. So that may be a kind of a shocker to some people.
Yeah.
So here's my sweet spot to share. Try not to fly through London Heathrow.
Yeah.
Well, where do I fly then? Well, fly Aer Lingus into Dublin. Fly into Madrid. As long as you don't fly into London. I mean, and what is a real big deal? If you actually flew into Madrid, we're talking like an hour and a half flight. So you, if your final destination is not London, it's just a connection, then connect to a different city. Connect to a city that doesn't have that. That's my, so now you save yourself $300-$700 right there. That's the first thing, right? So use Iberia to fly through. Here's the other thing. And if you said, no, but what if my final destination is London Heathrow? Okay, here's one. Don't fly British Airways.
Okay.
Well, then how do I get there then? Fly American. If you fly on American plane, like it actually has American on the side of the plane, the plane that you're flying, not British Airways, you will pay almost no tax. You'll pay like $20.
I have noticed this with American flights overseas. It's wild when I'm comparing like any flight that I can do with a transferable, like an Amex or Chase, to just an American flight. It's always hundreds of dollars versus $50 or $22 in taxes and fees. And it's wild. Do you know why that is, that they don't pass those along?
Okay, this is the thing. When you buy a ticket, a regular cash ticket, many people don't realize when there is a sale goes on and you ever look at the actual fare, they're like, if you do ITA Matrix, you can actually see the breakdown. But sometimes they'll say this deal, like you'll see some of these deals, like Thrifty Traveler or or the flight deal, they'll send these deals out and they'll say it's $300. This is a great deal. And you're like, how do I know it's a great deal? The reason it's a great deal is because that ticket's probably only $50. And the $250 that's extra is the taxes and fees.
Whoa.
So you actually, that's how they know it, because the base fare is actually in $20, but you have to pay that $250 of taxes and fees, which, you know, you got to pay that. Here's the thing. The foreign carriers, when you're paying with points, all they're reducing that base fare. So whether that base fare was $50, $100, $300, your points just pay for that. All the extra tax and fees, you have to pay for that regardless. Except the U.S. airlines like Delta, American, United have decided they are not going to pass those fees to us as a consumer. They're going to eat those fees. Wow. The other foreign carriers, they don't care about eating their fees. They're like, you already got a free flight. You're paying their tax and fees. And if the airport charges a lot, London Heathrow, you listening? They're going to pass it on to you as well. So British Airways doesn't care. They're going to pass it on. But American, United, and Delta have decided they don't want to. So that's the reason why.
That is fascinating and great for everybody. As long as we can figure out good ways to accumulate those points, which, you know, can be a little bit more tricky. But I'm about to dig into that hotel portal. That sounds fascinating.
There is one that I'm going to share with you too. And this is not American, but it's American partner, Iberia. One of the sweet spots out there is to use Iberia. The cheapest is probably Iberia flying out of the US into Madrid for 34,000 points in business class.
Oh, that's nice. Can you find
that's
that?
An excellent deal.
I mean, because other cards transfer to Iberia. Is it Chase? I can never pull those lists off the top of my head, but can you find that sweet spot with whatever currency that you're booking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Chase has them, Amex has them. And here's the other thing, many people don't realize too. There's, you know how normally when you move the points into an airline program, you're done, right? You can't move them back.
Yes.
It's one exception.
Iberia is an exception?
Iberia, British Airways, Finnair, Aer Lingus, and Qatar, those five airlines are owned by a company called IAG. IAG created this program called Avios. So all those five airlines now have Avios, and Finnair just joined them. Qatar just joined them last year. So there originally was only like two, then three, then now it's five. So there's five airlines that call them Avios. The great thing about this is this: one day in the future, these five are going to consolidate and they'll have all the same pricing. But as of right now, today, all of them have different pricing, what they want to charge for a flight. So you can literally shop the market. If you have British Airways points, you can go and search and say, what does British Airways charge for this? What does Iberia charge for this? What does Qatar charge for this? And whoever is the cheapest, you can move it between any one of the five.
That is wild. I have never heard that anywhere. It is so amazing. I'm actually curious what you use to find award pricing. Do you go airline to airline looking manually, or do you use a consolidation software?
I grew up in a time when we didn't have consolidation software, so I thank God that they do have consolidation software now. But here's the problem with a lot of people nowadays that got started when they only had consolidation software. You know, like the Point.me, the Points, Roam.travel.
Yeah.
Aways is in the game now. What else is there? It's getting kind of crowded. There's a lot. Like, I sign up for every subscription they have out there because, you know, I have a business where I help people book award tickets. So, I mean, I use them all. But here's the thing. There's sometimes something out there that everyone should know called Phantom Space. Have you heard of Phantom Space before?
No. Nope. Yes.
So what Phantom Space is this?
Cautionary tale.
There was a day, a couple days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, Virgin Atlantic was doing a 30% bonus. Do you remember that? Virgin Atlantic was doing a 30% bonus.
Oh, Mary Ellen had a fun time with that transfer bonus.
Yeah. So there was a 30% transfer bonus, and it said on one of these consolidator sites, I won't name who, said that Air France was giving a huge deal, great deal, and you should transfer all your points to Air France to book this flight. So I transferred it for my client.
I checked
Virgin first before I transferred to make sure it was there. So I did that. I checked Virgin, and then we transferred. Client was excited, and then we went through the whole thing, and it went to the very end and says, you can't book this. And I'm like trying again and again. I picked up the phone. I called Virgin. I said, what's going on? Why can't they get this flight? They said, we see it too. Let me call Air France and see what's going on. And Air France came back and said, yeah, we don't have this flight available for you. What I made the mistake, which rookie mistake, or, you know, sometimes you're just so excited because you're trying to get that flight before someone else. It's sometimes not a really rookie mistake, but you're trying to jump and get that flight before, because there's only two left and you're trying to grab that seat.
Yeah.
What I failed to do was check Air France and see, does this make sense? Was this Save Reward availability? Because it was a lot less than normal. It was literally it should have been like 65,000 points, but it was like more like 48,000, some ridiculous amount. Anyway, it was Phantom. And everyone I checked with, and I checked all my friends, and they're like, yeah, it's Phantom. There's no way. And so they couldn't force it. Virgin Atlantic could not force the ticket. They were like, Air France was like, no, it doesn't. But the consolidator site said it, and the Virgin site said it. But Air France, no. So you got to still check.
Okay. So check in all the places. You know, I use Points, almost exclusively, because it's just so simple and helpful. But there have been times where it's showing me flights and then I can't find the flights anywhere on the actual pages where they're supposed to be. So maybe that's what that is. But that scares me. I don't like that at all.
I will say this. I think the slowest one is probably the better one. I will say Point.me does a really good job. And I'm not even saying that they're perfect, but they do a very good job to be thorough.
Okay.
The biggest problem with Point.me is that they're slow. But if you want, you know, do you want thorough and slow, or do you want, you know, quick and fast? But, you know, most people lean for fast. And then when the time comes and they're like, oh, no, like, you know, what happened? It's not always a fun thing.
Oh my gosh, that's so painful.
But you still here's the way. I look at all consolidator as a way for you to kind of eliminate your heavy lifting. You still always should check the airline and to make sure it's always there.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Makes a lot of sense. Why don't you tell us just a little bit right here as we're wrapping up about Thailand and about maybe how people could grab some sweet spot flights to Thailand? You already told us about the amazing Hyatt Place. So write that down, everyone, because that's awesome. But tell us how to get there.
Okay. So You know, one of the things is maybe people don't know, but in 2019, Thailand, Bangkok especially, the capital and the airport, beat out all the other cities in the world, including London and Paris, as the most visited airport in the world in 2019.
Holy cow.
Yeah, beat out London and Paris. Okay,
that's so crazy.
Just give you an idea, almost every airline that has a name will come through here, regardless if it's our hub city or not. Thailand really is, for Southeast Asia, the connecting point in Southeast Asia. So if you're heading to Vietnam, Bali, or even, you know what? Here's the thing about it. Let's from here, from Bangkok, you can get into Helsinki. From here, you can get to Qatar. You can get into Doha. You can get into Dubai. There are nonstop flights to many places in the world. Wow. And so to get here from the US, for example, if you're in the East Coast, you could go through, you could fly the fun airlines like Emirates, you could fly Qatar, you could fly Etihad, so all the Gulf carriers. Or if you want to fly Lufthansa, you can fly Lufthansa. You can go to Munich and then get in right to Bangkok, or you can go to Helsinki and then get in from into Bangkok. So it is no more, it doesn't really have to be more than a one or two stops at the most if you wanted to. The easier one, I will say, the shorter one is not to go down that road, would be going west coast through the Pacific. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, you'll probably be connecting through Japan by flying JAL or ANA with stops in Narita or Tokyo, or go through Taipei and use China Airlines, which is a Delta partner, or use... Okay. EVA Air, which is a United partner, which is there, the top one. And the one I just flew recently, which is Starlux, which is now an Alaska partner. And potentially we're crossing our fingers. There's rumors that they have ambitions of becoming a one world partner one day with Starlux. And they were fantastic. Oh,
that's awesome. Yeah. Any good business class redemptions on any of those ones that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think the easiest one is Alaska and American. And in terms of low points, you know, you're probably going to spend 70,000 to 85,000 points, basically, business class here. And that's a great flight because you're talking about from the US, even from the West Coast to Japan, that's a 11-hour flight and then another 6-hour. So you'll have a really good opportunity to experience that. And if you have status, you can get into lounges, or if you're flying business, you can get into fantastic lounge. I think One World has the best lounges of all the alliances. When you look at Qatar, you look at JAL. JAL's first class has like sushi made to order. Cathay's first class, they do foot massages for you for 15 minutes and back massages while you're in the lounges, and they have sit down dinners, and it's fantastic.
So if you're connecting through Japan, those Japan airports have those great lounges for you to hang out at before you go on to your final
massage chairs, curry before
sign me
you go
up. Speaking my language right? now.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
So I think that's what makes One World better, because Delta is a great airline in its in the alliance, but they're like at the top of the heap. And I think once you start flying internationally, you're like, oh, I really wish I flew I flew Delta, because the other airlines, with the exception of maybe Virgin Atlantic and Korean, Air France and KLM, those are the good ones. I don't really find that there's a lot of perks with status with SkyTeam. United does with Starlines. They actually have good, but I think American and One World is the ideal of quality over quantity. They're the smallest, but I think they have a very good network of the ones they do get to fly, and they do try to track that. In fact, I would probably say Americans at the bottom of their, it's like on the second, third, like anything that you want to fly other than American is going to even be better. So you're going to love it. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I know some people who are executive pilot and only fly the other airlines and try not to fly American.
That's so funny. That'll be someday. I have big dreams for myself with this alliance and these airlines. So, baby steps. Oh, I do. Before we fully wrap up, is it in terms of earning status, is it a calendar year? In terms of like you have to earn everything in between January and December to get your status, and then you have to earn it again every single year. How does that work?
Yeah. So this is a qualifying year, and we start in March, March 1st, and it ends in end of February. So this is what I would say, if you qualify in this year, you'll have it The sooner you get it this year, you'll qualify for it. You'll get it right away, the perks. And then you'll also have it the membership year, which is the following year. So that'll be 25, for example. So you won't actually end, if you get it in 24, you won't end until February of 26.
Does the period for re-earning it start in March of next year? Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So March of next year of 25, that's your qualification for 26, which is the membership year. And then you'll have it for till 27.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure we put that out there. So in case anybody is interested in chasing status, get on it right now. Get into your qualifying year.
It's a little tricky with it starting in March rather than January.
Yeah, it's because when it was at the beginning of January, people would try to run for status in December. And then that was the hardest time to find the flying flights. And everybody's trying to travel that time. You're trying to find cheap flights and everybody's going, December is the worst time. So now they give 2 months for people to actually fly when everybody else isn't flying. Because January and February are very, very slow months.
That's actually a really smart business move for them in terms of generating flights in the slow season. So I That's see what you're doing, American. Yep. I see you.
Exactly.
Well, we appreciate you so much for being here with us today. I feel like everybody is going to learn a ton from this episode. And so we would like you to tell everyone where they can find you and also talk a little bit about your offerings and stuff you've got coming up here.
Yes. So we mentioned about Thailand. I'm actually putting together a group trip to Thailand. That's the reason why I'm here right now. So at the end of the year, I'm taking some folks who are interested in learning about points miles with me. They're going to get 8 days with me to learn about points miles when we travel around Thailand, one of my favorite countries. And we're going to be able to do Phuket and Bangkok. So reach out to follow me on Ben's Big Deal. Cool. You get to learn, right? We're going to be doing catamarans. We're going to be going to temples, doing a night market, a foodie tour. We'll be seeing wonderful temples like the Grand Palace, but it's going to be fantastic. And we'll go down to the beaches and we're going to do some sea kayaking and it's going to be a fantastic event. And we got and if you like points and miles, I have some points and miles hotels so you can be able to use and save some money on that way as well. So feel free to reach out to me about that.
My mind is blown because people do group trips in the travel creator space all the time. You know what nobody does? Points and miles group trips. This is amazing. I need to know all the details.
Absolutely. Love to have you, Joanna. And it'll be December the 7th. So it's the best time of the year. And then I also offer a masterclass for folks that want to learn about hotels. So I have a separate one on hotels that's coming up in July. And then I do one again in August, just on airlines alone. And then I have a weekly mentorship too. So for folks who are kind of more intermediate and advanced, I bring in some of the best and brightest people. We've had Nick from Freakin' Miler on. We've had a lot of the hot Instagram folks. I try to keep my pulse to all the folks and support a lot of the small content creators who are doing incredible jobs. You know, we did a deep dive into Air France the other day. We did a deep dive into Alaska the other day. So these are all great programs. And, you know, tomorrow I have a business because we have a business we're actually going to do a talk tomorrow about actually living abroad using points and miles and running your business at the same time.
Wow.
I think these are all things that I think people want to, you know, eventually do one of these days and they want to hear from people who actually do it. And if people wanted to find me, they can find me on bensbigdeal.com, also on Instagram under bensbigdeal. I also have a podcast under Business Travel 360 where we talk about the best hotel deal, the best airline deal of the week.
Awesome.
Well, who else can they follow? So they're definitely going to follow you because you're a wealth of knowledge. And then who else do you think that people should go follow on social media that you've learned from or that you think is very entertaining?
Yeah, I mean, I want to maybe highlight some of the smaller content creators because
yes,
I think
please.
The big ones we always hear about all the time. There's a gentleman named Alex. He's a part-timer because he loves his job. But he has fantastic deals. It's called Find Flights for Me.
Oh,
Find Flights for Me on Instagram. He has cool graphics. I share with my group all the time. I like his account a lot. The other one I like is the Miles couple. There are two couples, Mila and Brian. They're based in DC. They're doing a fantastic job highlighting a lot of the premium cabins, and they have full-time jobs. And one of them is like a PhD student. The other one worked for the government, and then they figure out a way how they could be able to take off on the weekends and do this. I like their account a lot as well. There are other accounts that I think, you know, focus on other things like the Points and Miles doc. She's a doctor who, you know, I don't know if you've had her on, Kelly.
We have. Yeah, we love Kelly. Yeah.
Kelly's fantastic.
Love Kelly,
as well.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah, she, I mean, there's some great folks out there. I'm just happy to be here and support all the Points and Miles folks. And I think there's a space for all of us.
Yes.
You know, there's always a voice that someone resonates with and you never know who that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are very invested in telling all of the stories on this podcast and having all of the voices that we can. So thank you so much for joining us today. This was an awesome episode. I cannot wait for everybody to hear it. And it was just such an honor to have you on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here and share with your audience.
We are glad to have you.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.